Yo, what is good, everybody? Welcome back to Diamond Talk. Today, we are talking about the second baseman, which is interesting, right? Like, we're going to compare our list a little bit to some of the lists that are going around. You know, very specifically, we're talking about the MLB Network list and why we think lists like that are a joke, which, let's be honest, man. Like, I've personally had it with like, MLB Network's list, but we'll get into it a little bit, man. But I'm here, Rob and Nick. How you guys doing?
Yo, what's going on, guys? I don't know if you managed to see the tweet that I had earlier this week, but I literally tweeted out that MLB Network needs to stop like embarrassing their own sport because it's honestly enough with some of their omissions on these lists. But hopefully, we can pop in here and do a better job at it.
Yeah, I'm doing great. I haven't watched MLB Network for over a year, so I don't get the pain and suffering of watching those lists and seeing how bad they are. But I think our list is pretty solid. I think we did it in the right order. And you can argue all you want about who's where, but the top are the top and the bottom are a little bit bleh. I don't really like second base very much this year once you get past that top 5 to 6.
It's definitely ugly. It's definitely ugly. And I think that's also like where we're at with second base as a position right now, where it's slowly becoming a defensive position again, especially since we've banned the shift. We have more stealing going on. We need a little bit more finesse there. Before we get started, though, man, trivia time. Don't think I forgot, guys. I got the calendar. I'm looking right at it. But I think you guys will like this one. I think you guys will like this one, right? This is going to be a rank them 1 through 5, right? So rank the following franchises by their all-time win-loss percentage. The 5 teams are the Cardinals, the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Dodgers, and the Giants. Oof. I know it's 5 teams. It's going to take a while, so I'll do some background music. Don't sue me, Jeopardy.
No, it's the percentage part that throws me off.
Yeah,
win percentage.
Cardinals, yeah. Yankees, Dodgers, Giants, Red Sox.
I'm not even gonna think that deep into it. I'm just gonna go. Dodgers, Yankees, Cardinals, Red Sox, Giants.
I'm gonna say Yankees, Cardinals, Giants, Dodgers, Red Sox.
Oof. All right. So the order of it is Yankees are number one, obviously. Why are we even questioning that, guys? What was the Yankees?
I'm a Dodgers fan, bro. I'm sorry.
Your bias is showing. There. The Yankees have a 570 win percentage, right? And then obviously all those stats, like they have 27 World Series wins. We knew this, right? We're waiting on 28 this year with Soto. Second is Knicks team, though. Second is the Giants.
I know that the Giants, first team in history to have 10,000 wins. I just wasn't sure because they have some pretty bad fucking seasons.
They did, but not bad enough to like get to take them off this thing, right? So,
it's because we're counting them as like their entire history. Ah, right. Yeah. That's where I messed up. I'm thinking San Francisco. Yeah. Okay.
Oh hell no, they're not even top five.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm tripping.
536 win percentage, right? Second best in all of baseball. 8 World Series championships, right? The stuff that matters there. Third is the rivals of the Dodgers. The Dodgers come in third. 530 win percentage, 7 World Series wins. So they're almost up to us. Nat. 4 is St. Louis Cardinals. St. Louis Cardinals have a 521 win percentage, 11 World Series wins. Like those are point in time where Nick got up here trying to say they were the best franchise in MLB. We didn't forget Nick.
Neither did I. That was one of the dumbest things I've ever done in baseball, for sure.
And then 5 Red Sox. The Red Sox are bums, and they shouldn't even be on this list. But the Red Sox have a 519 win percentage, 9 World Series wins as well, which is wild considering they didn't win a World Series for fucking 100 years or whatever the fuck it was. So that's wild. So that's your list, man. It goes Yankees, Giants, Dodgers, Cardinals, Red Sox. Red Sox are bumped. But let's get to second base, man. Enough of that, right? Nobody pays us for trivia. Nobody pays us at all. But like I'm just saying, second base, before we get into our list, man, what was your criteria for second base? And again, I know when we looked at some of the players, we were like, what the fuck is going on? So how about you guys explain to me what went into your personal list?
Yeah, I mean, second base is always a tough one just because there hasn't – if you look at the position itself, there's probably been one guy who is a legitimate everyday second baseman who has eclipsed, like, that superstar-level player in, like, the last decade. Like, genuinely, it's only been one guy at the position. Everyone else, like, gets their little all-star votes and, like, they're good players and things like that. But it's really tough. And, you know, there's never going to be, like, that, oh, this guy is the number one bat in the game of baseball. Like, It's tough for the second base position. You kind of have to balance it out with some defense too. As we're going to see on our list, there are a couple guys here who where their glove absolutely shines, but their bat is completely dead. It depends on what you're looking for at that position, man. It's truly tough to determine how to rank these guys.
Yeah, for me, I thought I was going to go in this one really easy. Oh, let's look at the stats last year. Let's maybe look a little highlight reel on the second base defense, and you know this is going to play itself out. Fuck that. This shit changed almost every time I rank somebody because there's so many different avenues in this position. You have super high-end average guys like Luis Arraez. You have power-speed combos like you know Jose Altuve. You have just the counting guy like Marcus Semien. Literally, all these guys put it together in different ways. So once I got past the top four, I really looked at who overall would I want on my team in that order. Like if I was drafting second baseman to play for my team in 2024, and that went from looking at speed. I mean, some of these guys have 47 stolen bases. You can't look past that in your lineup. Power, average, defense, strikeout rate, walk rate. Like it was across the board for me to really set this list. So this one was really difficult, mostly because once you got past like 7, 8, 9, it was just like, is this really a guy that I'm going to put in the top 10 of any list? So it got difficult towards the end. I just kind of looked at who would I want to put on the field on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, second base is one of those positions where it's another position that's going through a transition, right? The last, I would say, 5 years before the season, second base defense didn't really matter. We were shifting so heavily that you could really put, and this is no offense to Nolan Gorman, but you put Nolan Gorman at second, it's not really going to affect you too much because he's sitting where they hit the ball at, right? You have an extreme shift. Your shortstop is coming over, which was Tommy Edman, who's he had great range. So he hit any deficiencies your second baseman would have because of that. Now we're in a world where, look, you have to play second base a lot more traditionally, right? The shift's a little bit less exaggerated. It's a lot less exaggerated, right? Where you have to have a little bit more range. And that matters, man. Look, defense matters now a little bit more than it has in the past few years. That plus you got to take into account too, where it's like, hey, what's your ceiling, right? How good can you possibly do? Because second base is traditionally one of those positions where it's a like offensive desert, right? Like we have in the last 20 years, like if you think of like really good offensive second baseman, it's like Jeff Kent, and then after Jeff Kent. Like, who do you really think about? Altuve is probably the next guy at second base that you really think as like an offensive guy, right?
Marcus outside of the PEDs, it's Cano. It's pretty much just Altuve and Cano, like at the position. To say that there is a clear like this guy is a superstar at the position, you rarely get that at second base.
Right. So that being said, look, the list we have today is going to change so much going to next year. That's just the nature of the position, right? Look, spoiler alert, we have someone who's played maybe 5 games at second base in our top 5, right? Like, that's just where we're at in the position. But let's go 10 through 6, right? So 10 came in Matt McClain of the Reds. Great rookie season. We're really excited to see what he's going to do. A lot of people are very high on the Reds this year. I saw one article saying, did the Reds just make all their World Series moves? The moves were signing Jaime Candelario. So, I mean, we'll see what happens with that. Maybe they did. But Matt McClain comes in at number 10. Number 9, Ha-Seong Kim. Really had a big bounce back, right? He was one of those Korean players where, Rob talked about it a little bit more when we were talking about it. Jung-Ho Lee, who he came from Korea. It took him some time to adjust, but last year he did really well. Last year was really good for the Padres. Luis Arraez, which you can – look, Nick is going to have to give us why he hates this man. But
don't worry, I got it down. I'm ready.
but Luis Arraez, like last year, we were on like 400 watch for I would say at least half a season, where we're like, oh, is this guy gonna hit 400? Spoiler, he didn't hit 400, right? He came back to earth like pretty hard. But Luis Arraez is the number 8 second baseman. Gleyber Torres is our number 7 second baseman for the New York Yankees. Fun fact, MLB Network doesn't think he's a good second baseman at all. That's something that we will probably throw hands about if we ever see Brian Kenny or Kenny Bryan, whatever the fuck his name is. And then number 6, Nico Horner, Chicago Cubs, which, by the way, Nick is all Cubs out, looking like rookie of the year out here. About to throw some balls from the stands, trying to get a contract. But
I'm going to need like three cutoffs to make that in.
Nick, man, I want to start with you because I need the Luis Arraez explanation. And I know you've told us before, right? But I think we need to hear it again.
Hey, no problem. You said it for me. We were on 400 watts and he fell back down to just normal ass hitter. Like, normal ass average. Yes, 356 is a great average in today's game, but it's not great enough for you to be up there because you don't play any fucking defense. Like, just put a stand cardboard cutout of Luis Arias at second base and he'll make more plays. Like, he doesn't play second base very well. He doesn't add speed. He had a little bit of pop last year. He's a one-trick pony, and that trick isn't that much better than everybody else in the league when it comes down to it. Who do I think is going to have a higher average this year between him and Freddie Freeman? I'm probably going to pick Freddie Freeman. I trust him more. So, yeah, I didn't even have him in my top 10. He was number 13 for me. So single-handedly kept him out of our, you know, the top five for us. I don't know if he would have been up there, but he's a one-trick pony, and he's not who I'd want at my second base if it's everything considered.
It's a very good trick, though. Yeah. I mean, it is a very good trick. If you're going to have one trick as a pony, I feel like that's a pretty good trick right there.
I mean, if you're going to get on that base that much, at least be able to steal second. Like, do something a little bit more. Like, he's like, here I am. Hi, I'm at first base. Like, 90% of his pictures, him standing at first base. That's what it is. So, you know, get me a double here and there. You know, he's got a few more home runs. I don't know. I'm just not, to me, if he's not my second baseman over a lot of other guys. But so, yeah, I single-handedly kept him down. I think I kind of single-handedly kept Nico Hoerner up there at six. This dude is, I mean, to me, he's a baller. He's absolutely the second baseman I want. I believe he was second in defensive war, 47 stolen bases. He's a solid at bat every single time he's up there. Hit 283 with a 729 OPS, so his power's not quite there. Only strikes out 12% of the time, walks 7% of the time. To me, that's a stud second baseman that I can count on every single day to give me good defense. Get on base, have just a little bit of pop. But when he's on first base, he's going to be on second with a steal way more than like Luis Arias. So I'm really, really high on Nico Hoerner and Matt McClain. I had at seven on my list. No, I'm going to be completely honest. This is fantasy goggles. I had him on my fantasy team, and him being able to play multiple positions for me and do what he did was absolutely awesome. So I kind of had firsthand vision of it, but only 403 plate appearances. So this year, ideally, he's in there every single day because he's going to be there the whole year, and that gets up to 600. He had 16 home runs and 14 stolen bases while hitting 290. I'm going to take that all the time at second base over a whole lot of other second basemen that are on this list. He's got a good stick for average. He's got pop, and he's got speed. This is, in my opinion, who you want at second base, and his defense doesn't hurt you. So those are my three out of this list that I was like, where I felt a lot different than the consensus, and I'm happy with it.
That's nice, man. That's nice. I'll say this, man. The one thing I agree with you 100% on is I care a lot less about your on-base percentage if, one, you're playing on a bad team who has nobody to hit behind you. Like, I think at that point, you're almost selfish. Then, two, if you can't get to second base, I don't care. Right? Like, what's the point? Like, cool, I have someone who's stuck at first base. So I remember that was like one of my arguments with Joey Votto during like Joey Votto's like grand tenure with the Reds when it was like the early 2010s, where this dude got on base with the rest of with the best of them, but I think who's behind him? I think it was like Jay Bruce, right? Who the quality of hitter between Joey Votto and Jay Bruce, even at Jay Bruce's like all-star level playing time, it was a big difference. You know, Joey Votto wasn't gonna get in a second, right? And even in today's game, we look at someone who, you know, Anthony Volpe, right? Like, I'm a known Anthony Volpe hater, but it's not because I don't think he's good. It's because I think his game is missed. Like, you're not being the best value of him because if he gets the first, he can get the second. But if he strikes out because he's trying to hit a home run, he's not going anywhere, right? So that's the thing with, like, Arias. It's, look, he puts the bat on ball. He does a great job at getting at first. He's not a slugger. He's not getting... Did he even have 10 home runs last year? Like, what was it, like 14 or something like that? Like,
yeah, 10 home runs. Exactly.
10. Yeah, like who's that really helping, right? Like, great, you're on base. Now you have Orhis Soler behind you who's going to strike out like 18 billion times next season. So when you really analyze it, it's how good is this guy really, right? Or not even how good is he really, but like how much is he really helping the team? Rob, yo, I'll kick it over to you, man. As much as Nick hated Luis Arias, I heard you have that same kind of hate for a certain gentleman called Zach Geloff, as well as King Julian out there in Minnesota.
I thought we weren't bringing up Geloff's name. I thought we agreed to that shit.
No. We have to. We have to. Just we have to put the pulse on the people.
Zach Gelof, for people who don't know, it's the projected starting second baseman for the Oakland Athletics. I think that's enough on Zach Gelof. So getting back to our players that actually matter. So Matt McClain at number 10, you know, who actually has probably and you know what? He, for his own right, he had a small sample size last year, too. I think he only played like 89 games last season. I do expect he is part of like that nucleus of the Cincinnati Reds, like that Ellie De La Cruz, Matt McClain, Spencer Steer, like their next. I don't know if they're World Series contenders, right? But when you have them, those guys, and you have Hunter Green in your pitching rotation, everything like that, like those are solid young players to take that next step in your franchise. I had McClain right outside the top 10 at 11 for me, but him making the cut at 10, it shouldn't really be too surprising. If people are trying to tell you that he's top five, that's a lie. And then for Kim and San Diego, I think Kim is probably the most impressive jump for me, because especially when it comes to Korean players, I don't think that MLB teams have as much patience with Korean players as they do with Japanese players. I feel like Japanese players get a lot longer leash, right? Like where they might come over and not necessarily perform to their fullest ability immediately, but then, oh, 2-3 years, like they're starting to get better and better. And like we're kind of like, I think we're the perfect example of that is maybe like Seiya Suzuki with the Cubs, right? Like I think Seiya came up with a lot of hype, didn't necessarily perform all that well his first season, but I think he's definitely turning into a solid player for the Chicago Cubs. I see the same for Kim. Kim is very underrated. He can do a lot with not saying that he's the best hitter at the position or anything like that, but when you look at the bat and glove combo, when you look at a guy who's going to give you solid defense and solid offensive production, he's definitely a good choice for the top 10. Luis Arias at 8. I'm not mad at it. I personally had him at 5, just coming off of his second consecutive batting title. I think that, look, he has to be on the list. I don't think there's a world where we can leave him off the list. I understand Nick's point about the things that he does. But even with all that, like you're talking about a guy who dropped off last season and finished with a .354 batting average. Like his second half, he hit .314. Like it wasn't like he hit like .280 to like finish the year. Scrub. He still hit over .300.
.314. Scrub.
Yo, like, but if you look at it, like that's the thing, right? I think Luis Arraez. It's about time Luis Arraez gets some respect, man. Because it's just like last year we didn't put him in our first base ranking because we didn't know how to rank him. We didn't know if we wanted to put him in the outfield. We didn't know if we wanted to put him at second base. He's a two-time reigning batting champion. The only people who have a higher batting average than Luis Arraez in the last three seasons is no one. Is no one. That's the answer. No one has a higher batting average than Luis Arraez in the last three seasons. Second place is Freddie Freeman by 5 points. Third place is Ronald Acuña Jr., the reigning NL MVP, by 22 points. So for someone who like can hit, at least, bro, if you're going to make contact, do it at an elite level, right? Like do it at a level where like no one can argue that you are the number one batting average guy in the sport. And I think that should be at least something, you know, solid enough to get you in a position like this. So the eighth, so I'm not mad that he's eighth. I understand Nick's point. He's not a good defender. I'm definitely not saying that he is. He is essentially Bo Bichette at the second base position, where you're
minus five categories of offensive.
No, right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. Which is what I was going to say. Light. You're not expecting the same home runs, but we did see an uptick in OPS, which is a very good sign. He had like an 860 OPS this season compared to 700s last year. If he goes for a second straight year of posting an 800 plus OPS and hitting over 300, there's no denying, like he probably has to go up another couple spots. If you're telling me that Luis Arraez is on a third straight consecutive season where he's in the top three for a batting title, show me the last time that was done at the position. That should be enough to carry him to be quite frank, especially when you look at some of the other guys, right? If the last two remaining guys here for our last five are Gleyber Torres and Nico Horner, Luis Arraez blows past those two players. If you're telling me I'm gonna get a .320 batting average from Luis Arraez consistently, give me him over Gleyber Torres. Give me him over Nico Horner. And I'm saying that as a Yankee fan. I'm fine taking Luis Arraez over those two guys. If we're ranking them above him, yeah, Nico Horner, way better glove. No argument there. But you know what the argument against Nico Horner is? When you look at the actual class of second baseman at the position, he might be the worst offensive second baseman at the position when you look at them consistently. So we have to take that into account too, right? Because we did the same thing when we're talking, you know, spoiler alert. Not spoilers, because we'll get to our third base rankings, but a player like Ke'Bryan Hayes, right? Where we talk about his defense being all world, but his offense has to match. So Nico being six, I mean, I had Nico 10, right? And I'm not trying to disrespect him, but that's the reality. He falls in that 6-10 range because his bat has not held up compared to others at the position. Gleyber is probably the most, like what do I say for Gleyber outside of average? Like, and I'm not trying to say that he's shitty or anything like that, but it's just like there's nothing for Gleyber that outshines everyone else, right? Like he doesn't have the OPS numbers that outshines others. He doesn't have the home run numbers that outshines. He definitely doesn't have the defense at the position that outshines others. He's a very good player at the position. He is a top 10 second baseman at the position. Again, someone tells you Gleyber Torres is not a top 10 second baseman, it's a lie. We have to start just saying that things are a lie, because that's just how they're set up to be. So Gleyber being at seven, I'm fine with that as well. I think he deserves to be in this conversation. But second base, I think second base is probably one of those positions where the opinion is going to be very different, because there's a lot of things that you want at the position, and not everyone does. I don't think there's a single player who encapsulates everything that you want at the position at second, and I think that's what makes it so tough.
What can I tell you about second base, man? It's hard for me to really get on any position where I'm like fighting for any of these guys, because to be honest with you, like when it comes to where they sit on their teams, especially the guys we just talked about, most of them are maybe the third best hitter on the team, and I'm like talking about Gleyber. Right, I mean, you can make an argument Luis Arraez is the best hitter on his team, but like his team's fucking
not saying garbage. Much about the Marlins. Right? Not like, saying much about the Marlins. Yeah,
I mean, everyone else is one of those things where it's like, all right, look, you fill a position on that team, and for the position you play, we'd rather have you than, like, I guess other people. But it's like really close, right? So like, for instance, if you tell me that there's been rumors about or Yankee Twitter has been starting a rumor about like Gleyber Torres for Luis Arraez, and if that happened, like, I'm not gonna sit here and say like, oh, I think the Yankees are much better off. I don't think the Marlins are way worse off, or I don't think the Marlins are much better off. I think those are both guys are like, for what they provide overall, what they provide overall, pretty interchangeable, right? And I'd say that with most of these guys. Nico Horner, like, am I mad if he's my second baseman? I'm not. Am I happy about it? I'm like, I guess. Right, like none of these guys really change the game, which is why when these guys come up for contracts, which we know Gleyber's coming up for one, and Arraez in the next couple of years, like what do you value these guys as? Because they're replacement level players when you consider, like, you know, for the level they're at, they're like, we could probably get this similar production somewhere else, which is hard for second base. Something that I think is worth talking about. Last year, our 6 and 7 were Gleyber Torres and Nico Horner. They were basically just flipped, right? So those guys have consistently been around that area. The one person who we're not talking about, and I'm not really sure why, Brandon Lowe. Was there a reason why we didn't rank Brandon Lowe on this list?
Yeah, he was shit. he didn't have a good year last season. I think his numbers were all the way down, and I don't think I think he might have been injured, but I don't think he missed like
that. He got hurt to end the season.
Yeah, he got hurt to end the season. Yeah, he played 109 games last season, 21 home runs, 68 RBIs. He hit .231 with a .771 OPS.
Would you take a healthy Brandon Lowe ahead of any of these guys for next season?
At this point, no.
Okay.
No, because he's only going to give you, like, again, like, it depends on what you're looking for, right? You could potentially take Brandon Lowe if you have a weak team that doesn't have that many power hitters and you need power. Having a second baseman that could potentially hit 30 to 40 home runs might be beneficial to you. But if there is no team looking at, like, if you look at our top 10, there is no team out that top 10 that would let go of the guy that they currently have there for Brandon Lowe. There's no way.
I get that. I can see that. I can agree with that, man. All right, let's get to our top five. Top five, a little bit more interesting, right? At five, we have Ketel Marte. Big comeback season last year. Doesn't get talked about enough. He had a big comeback season last year. Did some amazing things. Like, most people are probably going to remember his playoff run where he was, 26, game. Those are crazy-ass stats. Where he was like on base every game for every playoff game or some shit like that. It was ridiculous. Ozzie Albies comes in at our number four, which, by the way, MLB Network doesn't think he's a top 10 second baseman. Y'all keep watching that garbage, though. Jose Altuve comes in as our number three. I'm interested to talk about Jose Altuve because he's going somewhere that different territory for where we usually see Jose Altuve. Number two, Marcus Semien had a great season again, World Series Rangers. And number one is Mookie Betts. And I'm not going to lie, I'm not super happy about this because we're talking about a guy who's just brand new to the position. We're just assuming that he's not going to need any time to adjust. He's not going to need any time to really figure it out. We're just saying, hey, he was a gold glover at right field. He's going to be good at second base. Defensively, last year was his worst season in the outfield for Mookie Betts, right? So looking at his defensive metrics, it kind of makes sense that they're moving him to second base. Like I said, just worst defensive season for Mookie Betts in right field. But the offense is amazing. You put him at number one strictly because of the offense, because he blows everyone out the fucking water. It's not even close, right? Like, even, you know, every other year MVP Marcus Semien, it isn't close to what Mookie provides you on offense, which is why I guess we have him at, which is why I have number one. And by the way, he's number one in my list too. So, you know, I'm not saying he shouldn't be number one. But Nick, I'll kick it over to you, man. Top five. What are your thoughts?
I like it. I like it a lot. The only one that wasn't in my top five was Marte because I had Horner instead, but I'm not mad at it. I've liked Marte since he was in Seattle, kind of always wait for him to break out, but then hold it consistently between injuries or just lack of production. It seems like he's finally come into his own and trusting who he is, but also the Diamondbacks have put a lot around him so he can do that. He doesn't have to be the guy now because he's got other guys there like the Christian Walkers. So I think he's finally been allowed to actually be who Ketel Marte is. And if this is who he is, yeah, he's a top five second baseman. This is a guy that you want on your team. This is the kind of guy that you go make a trade for to make your team better. And the Diamondbacks say, we want all of your top prospects because he is going to make your team better. So I'm definitely not mad at him being five. I just want to see it again, and I want to see it consistently. For Albies, what a joke to not put him in a top 10. Like, what does this man have to do to be in the top 10? Because he absolutely killed it last year. I mean, 849 OPS, 33 home runs. 33 home runs at second base is pretty powerful. I don't know why you wouldn't want that. Still throws in 13 stolen bases. Counting numbers, sure, inflated because of the lineup that he's in. But guess what? He also did that in the lineup that he was in from second base. 96 runs, 109 RBIs. You don't get that a lot out of second base. So I have no idea why this man wouldn't be in a top 10. It's almost surprising to not have him in the top three. And then you come in Jose Altuve, who, if it wasn't for injuries last year, if he was healthy all year last year, he could very easily be number one. He does compete with Mookie Betts offensively. Power, stolen bases, average, all of it. He is on that level with Mookie Betts. The problem is where I started, because he wasn't healthy all year last year. He's getting older and he is getting injured more often. Like, he's missing games because he's just not on the field. So it's tough to put him higher. If he can
just because we're Altuve right now, one of the reasons why I think he is falling is his advanced metrics suck, right? Like, he's not hitting the ball as hard as he usually does. You know, you can see the decline, is what I'm trying to say. And, you know, I don't know if you noticed it last year, but I felt like he's still one of the best second basemen, right? It's a weak position, but it was like you could see the fall off coming, or you can see the fall off there. And maybe it had more to do with injury, but I think that's why Altuve is kind of like interesting like this.
No, for sure. And I mean, only having 17 home runs and 410 at bats, like, that only puts him on pace for 23, 24 home runs if he played a full season. And that's not what you're expecting out of Jose Altuve power wise. So his power is definitely falling down. I don't know if it would be because of injuries or if he is just declining. The other thing too that's going to be hard for him, and it was kind of hard for Vladimir Guerrero, when you think about what they're fucking swinging at, like, there's no ball they don't think that they can't hit. They're swinging at everything. And that's hard to get rid of when you've been successful for so long. So Altuve may have to kind of learn how to reel that back. And just because he thinks he can reach it, he should swing. No, man, you don't have the same pop that you use that you usually do. So, but him at number three, you could very easily be two or one if you had a full season. And then you go to the guy who has not just a full season, but 753 plate appearances. His plate appearances started with a fucking seven, and it's in the mid sevens. Your next closest guy is Mookie Betts, who's a pretty good hitter in the top of a lineup on a pretty good lineup, so it's going to turn over. He only had 693. So Simeon is just, he's a counting god. He's in there every single day for every single inning, and he's productive the entire time. He's in the conversation every year for MVP, and that's got to say something. The only reason he surpassed and not number one is because Mookie Betts is now officially the second baseman. And yeah, his defense was down last year. I'm going to tap it to, he played shortstop and second base on a regular basis because that's what the team needed. And of any positions to change, outfield to infield is a huge difference and affects your outfield more so, in my opinion, because of the eye level. When you're on the infield, you're constantly looking eye level down all the time for quick reaction. When you go to the outfield, that split second of not being used to looking up to track the ball can be a huge difference, because you don't have that much time. We're also talking about Mookie Betts, who's arguably the best defensive right fielder in the game for the past 5-6 years. I really think that adjustment helping the team to go into the infield on a regular basis really changed the way he could play defensively in the outfield, because it is just a completely different game between the two. Playing every single day at second base, if that's what ends up happening, I think it's going to be easier on his body, believe it or not. I know it shouldn't seem like it, but that run out to right field from the third base dugout every single inning is a lot more taxing than running to second base. So we might see Mookie Betts steals go up. I'm not really sure, but I think the way the top five played out is perfect. I'm not mad at it at all, even though it wasn't the way it lined out for me. But I can't argue with the rankings the way they are. I think they're really solid.
I want to touch on Ozzy Albies again, just because he's amazing. Like, there's nothing that you can say about Ozzy Albies that wouldn't have him in the top 10 in on any second base list. And this goes back for years. Like looking at his numbers last
year. And he's only 27 still. He's only 27 still, which is crazy.
This is actually his contract year, I think. I think after this year, he has to get re-signed if the Braves are going to keep him. But I just don't understand what you have to like literally hate this man not to put him in your top 10. There's just not any conversation to have guys above him. Like, he's arguably behind Simeon. If you told me right now that you'd have Ozzy Albies in front of Jose Altuve, which, by the way, Altuve was number one on MLB Networks, that's an argument that I would probably say, hey, yeah, no, I can see Ozzy Albies being number one. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. One thing that I thought about recently was the way the Dodgers have been positioning themselves with their long-term guys, where, you know, it's Ohtani, it's Freddie Freeman, and Mookie Betts. One thing that I think they've done a great job at is those contracts, they've given it to guys who play a low-impact position, right? And now by moving Mookie from the outfield to the infield, at a position where, look, second base isn't what it used to be, right? You don't have guys sliding at your ankles like every game. Now it's very friendly. It's like, oh, you were there. Let me stop a whole foot short so I don't get touch you. It's going to be a good way to save his body. So, you know, good for them, right? They saw the investment, trying to get the most years out of him, which is why I'm banging the table at, yo, put Judge at first base for the Yankees. Is it going to happen? Absolutely not. Why would you listen to me? But, like, if your big ticket guys need to play positions where they can extend that longevity of, like, being above average. What's it called? Rob, man, I'll kick it to you, dude. What was your thoughts on the second base?
Yeah, man, second base is a really good list, especially the top five for the position. Ketel Marte, for me, I had him six. Ketel Marte might honestly hold the most value at the position. When you look at a guy who can play second, shortstop, the outfield for you, his offensive value, if you give him a healthy season, he probably is Ozzy Albies light. Like, in terms of offense, like, he's not going to give you crappy offense when he's fully healthy. It's good to see him back here, honestly, because we haven't had him in our top five for a couple years, having to do with injuries, but we know the type of talent that he is at the position. For Ozzy, look, man, Ozzy will continue to be underrated. that was a one of the worst decisions I've ever seen on an MLB Network list, not having Ozzie Albies top 10 at the position. You're crazy. You're crazy. They're general managers. There's no general manager in the game of baseball that would pick 5 second baseman in front of Ozzie Albies. It's just not happening. And again, he's underrated because of where he is. Ronald Acuna is better. I understand that. Matt Olson is better. I understand that. Austin Riley's probably ranked higher at his position. I get that. Sean Murphy, right? We had him as our number one catcher. Like, I get that. Like, he's on a team with a lot of talent. You're still talking about a guy who's putting up 33 home runs and 109 RBIs with an 849 OPS. Like, you're not talking about a guy who's just putting a 750 OPS up or something and just, like, along for the ride. You're talking about a guy who picks up the Atlanta Braves when any of those other guys are down. So, like, for him not to be in the top 10, and again, top 10, top 5, like, if you want to say Ozzie Albies is not a top 5 second baseman, that's your prerogative. Do whatever you want. But, like, top 10, bro, like, that's when you start getting disrespectful. Like, that's when I need to question, like, are you sitting down and watching baseball? Like, or are you just looking at the numbers and then you're just letting yourself go by what you see? Because guess what? If you're just looking at the numbers, it still doesn't make sense. What numbers are you looking at that would indicate to you that Ozzie Albies is not a top 10 second baseman in the game of baseball? Nothing around it makes sense. Him finishing at 4, I would say, especially coming off the great season that he had this year, it is probably right where he needs to be. The top three is an interesting one because, look, coming into the season, once there's not much that needs to be said about Mookie Betts, man. We knew once the Dodgers made that move official. If you don't say that Mookie, like, again, just from a general player ranking, there is no other starting second baseman who, when you take positions out and you're just talking about player rankings, even, like, can sniff Mookie Betts. So, like, I don't understand, like, what the conversation is for, like, having anyone other than Mookie Betts at number one. Like, I get, like, oh my God, like, defense, he's changing position, whatever. Like, you're talking about a guy who's probably going to have another top three, top four NL MVP finish. Like, yeah, he's number one at the position. I think the most interesting conversation is Semien and Altuve, because I had Altuve number two. I had Semien number three. For me, I believe, let me just double check, because I don't want to give people.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, word. I don't want to give people wrong information. Yeah, so I put Altuve number two. The reasoning is because Marcus Semien is a roller coaster, and I've said it before, and I understand the availability argument. Yes, the man has played 162, 161, 162 the last 3 years. He's going to be out there. He's going to be contributing for your team. His stats are a roller coaster. And again, it's not just me saying it, people. It's as bad as Cody Bellinger. Like, it's literally Marcus Semien and Cody Bellinger are the two players who fit the description of a roller coaster most. And I'm about to pull this up just because, again, I want to give people the exact numbers. If you go back to Marcus Semien's 2018 season, right? And I'm just going to go based off of OPS, right? Because counting stats can be whatever. His OPS in 2018 was 706. His OPS in 2019 was 892. His OPS in 2020 was 679. His OPS in 2021 was 873. His OPS in 2022 was 733. And his OPS in 2023 was 826. So I just want Texas Rangers fans to prepare themselves for the season that they're about to receive from Marcus Semien, because the bad season is up. Like, that's just what it's been. And if he has a great season, then I will be on here and saying, you proved me wrong, Marcus. You finally got off the roller coaster. But he's on that roller coaster. And again, it's not me saying it. It's the numbers. The numbers point to him being on the roller coaster. I'm not trying to say he's not a valuable player, because he definitely is. I ranked him as my top three second baseman. But if you ask me out the top five, who is at most danger of being out the top five next season, it's Marcus Semien. In terms of players who are going to stay at the position, right? Because Mookie Betts might get shifted back to the outfield, whatever ends up happening with Mookie. But players that are going to be at second base that are in our top five right now, it's probably Marcus Semien who's at the most danger. Because if you give me a fully healthy season, and by that, I'm just talking, at this point, you know, we're talking about 130, 140 games. No, I'm not expecting a 160-game season from Jose Altuve. But if Jose Altuve is going to be there 130, 140 games for the Houston Astros, even with a decline, he's giving you an average Marcus Semien offensive season. That's what Jose Altuve is at a decline. Because at a decline in 90 games last season, he still hit .311 with a .915 OPS. So if you're going to tell me that he drops to, oh shit, like Jose Altuve like has an .830 OPS, damn, then he's 2023 Marcus Semien. Like, that's what's up, right? Like, the Houston Astros are happy to have that. So I don't know. I think the Semien and Altuve conversation is definitely a
a flip, like flip a coin conversation, because again, there are arguments for having Simeon in front of him. I'm not trying to say that there aren't, because he does bring some value, but Altuve and him, it's a very easy flip for me, depending if especially if Altuve comes out healthy this year. But I think in terms of the three names that are there right now, Betts, Altuve, Simeon, Altuve, in whatever order, those have to be the three names that you have on there.
You know, one thing I'll put on Simeon's positive side, his defense is immaculate. The only reason he didn't want to go glove was because of Andrés Giménez, who couldn't hit if like they kidnapped his kid. But like Marcus Simeon's defense, the one difference between him and the five guys in the top five was he's a gold glove caliber defender. Where, look, Mookie's new position, he's wait and see, right? We'll see. Maybe he's also a good glove caliber guy. But Altuve is just not that anymore, right? His range came down significantly. Ozzy Albies never really been that guy. Ketel Marte, like, hasn't played there enough to be that guy. You know what I mean? So that's, like, the one thing that Marcus Simeon does, because he does it at, like, such a high level that it's worth talking about when comparing. But, you know, outside of that, though, like, you know, Jose Altuve is a lot more consistent, and he has been in his career. I want to talk about last year's list before we get out of here, man. And no, there's a lot of guys that didn't make it into our list this year. For instance, Andrés Giménez, who was our number two second baseman last year. Crazy amount of fall off from last year to this year. Jeff McNeil, he's a Met. He was on this list last year for us. Brandon Lowe, I mentioned before, and Brendan Donovan, right? Do you see any of those guys getting back into the list next year? Because I think those guys are still, they're going to be starting second baseman for their team. If you had to pick one guy next year that comes back into second base ranking, who would you pick?
Oof. For me, it's easy. Brandon Donovan. He was injured last year. Didn't have very many chances. I think he's a guy that he has to play a lot of second base because they're a mixed bag over there. But I think Brandon Donovan has the best chance of getting back in the top 10.
That's a tough one, man. That's a tough. What were the? You said oh yeah, the first name that you said. I think Andrés Giménez. I think honestly, Andrés Giménez might have the best shot of coming back in here. I had him in my top 10 because he was coming off of his Gold Glove season. I don't think that the offensive drop off is the type of player that he is. I don't think that the offensive season that he had last season, the season before in Guardians, is the type of player that he is either. Right? Like, I don't think Andrés Giménez is going to be a consistent 297, 300 hitter, but I don't think he's going to be as bad offensively. And then it turns into that same conversation of if you can get your bat to an average level with Gold Glove defense, then you're Nico Hoerner, who's number six, right? So like, it's just like, that's the reality. Like, that's the comparison. Like, Andrés Giménez, Nico Hoerner, very similar players in terms of the defense that they can bring and the level bat that they have to kind of have to maintain to be in these rankings. It'd probably be Andrés Giménez. In terms of, just to go to Nick's point, in terms of Brandon Donovan is a good choice too. I think Brandon Donovan is going to come more down to position because we don't know if Brandon Donovan or Nolan Gorman is going to be a second baseman. I did see that there is expectation that Brandon Donovan might play some shortstop for the Cardinals this season because they traded Paul DeJong. They do have Mason Winn, who's expected to get some play time at shortstop as well, but we don't know. If Mason Winn, you know, isn't performing, I see a very easy, you know, move forward for the Cardinals to be like, hey, Arenado at third, Donovan at short, Gorman at second, like we're moving forward, right? Like, so that's a possibility as well. So it might just come down into the position for him.
Yeah, I mean, look, for me, I'm going to go Andrés Giménez just because, like, he was ranked number two. He was ranked up in a Marcus Semien for us last year, right? And Ozzy Albies, right? So we definitely saw something in him that it was like, hey, he can – we see the potential, right? That's kind of where it comes at for Andrés Giménez. And sophomore year, sophomore slump, right? We see it all the time, right? There's a reason why that word's trademarked. Outside of that, though, second base is – I don't know, man. Like, Jeff McNeil proves why you shouldn't let billionaires just, you know, hand out checks. Because holy crap, was he awful this year. He's also a good example of why just making soft contact isn't always the way to go in the MLB, right? Because, you know, the reason why he was in there in the first place and the reason why he got the contract was, like, his spray chart was sick the year before that, right? Where he was literally floating balls over third baseman's heads and floating balls over second baseman's heads, right? And it was like, you know, this is during the shift, right? So he had more space to do that. He had great bat control. Last year sucked for Jeff McNeil. I don't expect him to be back on any list outside of maybe like TSA's do not fly list. So, you know, I'm pretty okay saying Mets, you guys, like, fuck that one up. But yeah, man, anything you guys want to say before we get out of here?
Nah, man. Look, second base is a solid list. Like, we'll talk about these guys as the year goes on. But it's tough. It's always tough to rank these guys, especially in terms of value and especially in terms of, like, contract value. Because we mentioned it before, right? Yo, would you give any of these, just to ask you a quick question, would you give any of these guys a 10-year, $240 million deal?
At this point in their career, no.
Yeah.
Maybe Ozzy Albies.
Like, maybe. And then it's just like, that's the deal. Remember, that's the free agent deal that Robinson Cano got when he left the Yankees. So, like, I'm just throwing that as the example of, like, superstar level contract for, like, second base. We're so far from seeing that, like, again at the position that it's honestly insane, right? Like, if you're not counting your Mookies, because obviously he's a special case. If you're not counting your Jose Altuves, because obviously he's up there in age. Semien already got his 7-175 from Texas. Ozzy obviously underpaid for what his contract with the Braves is, but even then, right? Like, I don't know if Ozzy gets $240 million across 10 seasons, not from the Braves. We've seen how they do their contracts. Like, he's not getting that from the Braves, but. I think the position is good. That's my issue. It's like I want to see great second baseman start to be produced again, right? Like, it's tough, but there's talent there, definitely.
For me, I'm just happy it's over. When you have a guy who comes into the position, you put him number one. This is gonna be the weakest position we talk about. I'm just happy this episode's over.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, man. Like, there's some guys that we didn't really talk about that could very easily be on this list next year. The biggest omission, I think, in my opinion, is probably Edward Julian, who the reason why I think he's an omission is because he had great, like, metrics, right? And he did produce some like, really cool numbers, like, historically. But what we've seen with Minnesota guys is what's the staying power with that, right? Personally, I'm more interested in Royce Lewis, who he might turn up in one of these later episodes. Nolan Gorman, a positionless player. He's at second base, but they removed the shifts. Now is second base the best position for him? Probably not. I see him taking over first base after Paul Goldschmidt. If Paul Goldschmidt doesn't resign this contract year, I think Nolan Gorman is a fit at first. Who else didn't we really talk about? And then Zach Gelof, as we mentioned, who we weren't allowed to talk about, but
Zach Gelof. bring him up here at the end. The main issue with Zach Gelof, because I don't want to take this as a trashing episode for Zach Gelof or anything like that. If he goes out there and performs this year, great. The main issue is that you just told me that Zach Gelof was a top 10 second baseman ahead of Gleyber and Ozzy Albies, who are very clearly better. That is the problem. That's the only problem that I have. The fact that Gleyber and Ozzy Albies are not in the top 10 is disrespectful when you have a guy like Zach Gelof in it. That's it.
Here's where I think that goes through, though, right? Consistency. Like, we value consistency. And I think when we look at, like, the list we made last year, we had, like, a newcomer at number two in Andrés Giménez. It kind of shows us, like, oh, like, why didn't we value Ozzy Albies in front of that, who we've seen, you know, perform? Why don't we value, you know, last year, like, a Ketel Marte, who we've seen perform, right? And with these new guys, right, like a Matt McClain, like a Zach Gelof, who was the other guy? There's another young guy there.
Julian.
It's like,
Julian had a small sample size.
It's like one of those things where, like, yeah, look, we saw some good stuff, but we see this all the time, year to year. You know, MLB is a consistency game, man. Honestly, it's not about, you know, how athletic you are. It's not how good you are in a vacuum. It's how consistent can you be over 162 over 3 years, right? That's what separates some of the guys. That's what separates the guys we had on this list compared to those younger guys, in my opinion, right? We all want to project and be like the next guy. Oh, we found a lottery ticket. But especially at second base, it's hard to do, right? Like, these guys just aren't consistent enough.
Yeah, for me, it's just like everybody has their one trick. Like, Luis Arraez, yes, 356 average. But even when you get into these lower level guys, like, there's a lot of people talking really high of Edward Julian, because of his, he doesn't swing outside of the zone. He only swings and makes contact inside of the zone. He still strikes out 31% of the time. Like, don't tell me how good his eye is with a 30% strikeout rate. Great. He can see the ball really, really well. And then he misses it. So, like, they all have their one thing, but they're so, like, it's not he's got gold glove defense. It's not he's got 350 stick. It's not he's got 40 home runs. It's he's got a great eye contact. His O-swing rate is really, really good. That's way, if that's the metric you're going after to describe a player, that's way too far of an advanced metric to say that they're any good. That's really, to me, the big problem. The only thing I'll say from the guys in the list that came up kind of late last year, Caballero, the second baseman for potentially the Mariners this year, that dude might steal 80, 90 bases if he gets the opportunity. But he's a one-trick pony. That's all he's going to fucking do, because he also strikes out at like 25%. He doesn't take walks. He only hits 221. But if he gets the first base, he's definitely getting a second. So every time he gets there, it's going to be a double.
Yeah, well, that's enough. I think Nick's heart hurts enough after the second base episode. Yeah, man, we will catch you next time, man. We're going to be talking about the shortstops coming up next. And that's going to be a little bit more. I can promise you that. See you guys next time.